Hello and welcome to the Thursday, August 23rd, 2012 edition of the Sands and its Storm Centers Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich and I'm today recording from Jacksonville, Florida. We got reports of SMS spam being used to phish iTunes or Apple credentials. The way this works is that you will receive an SMS message claiming that you have won some kind of Apple sweepstakes, you got an iPad, an iPod, or whatever, and you're asked to click on a link. Now, the link starts out with www.apple.com. However, this is just part of the actual host name. The actual host name is www.apple.com.something else. Once you click on the link, you will be directed to a phishing site that will then ask for your Apple iTunes credentials, and of course your account will be raided as a result. We have seen a lot of Apple iTunes phishing in the past. This is really just yet another variant of this particular attack. And Siemens subsidiary Rugged.com, which creates a rugged OS frequently used in SCADA devices, has yet another failure in their operating system relating to static authentication values. Now, in the past, we had alerts about static passwords being used. This time, it's a static SSL keys. So all devices that run Rugged operating system or ROS are using the same SSL secret key for their communication. That, of course, could lead to the decryption of the content, so a loss of confidentiality. It is also leading to a loss of authentication. That's actually more severe. The encryption, well, if they happen to use Diffie-Hellman or such, they may be safe from the decryption problem. However, you could now play man in the middle on these devices, and a user or a client connecting to these devices would have no idea that they're connecting to the wrong device because you have the authentic SSL key to authenticate as this device. And Kaspersky, Symantec, and a couple others are reporting about a new malware strain that is being named Crisis so far, which is in particular notable for its multi-OS capability. The malware itself appears to be written in Java, and it's not installed via a vulnerability, but it's tricking the user into running it, claiming to be Flash. Once running, the malware will then try to figure out what operating system you are running. It has versions available for OS X as well as for Windows. Now, Symantec is also reporting that it will spread to Windows phones if it finds one, and also has specific payloads for VMware in order to infect a VMware player. The malware itself appears to have all the standard features of malware, like antivirus disabling code, call home routines to connect back to a command and control server, logging keystroke, and, well, of course, installing more malware. Now, a lot of malware we are seeing these days and seeing for the last few days usually refuses to run on virtual machines or just crashes the virtual machines, because virtual machines are used a lot by malware researchers to reverse analyze malware. Now, in this case, the malware apparently seeks out virtual machines to infect, which I guess is a new trend. We keep hearing about users that, for example, set up specific virtual machines for critical tasks, where they use a clean virtual machine, for example, for online banking and the like, and don't use that virtual machine for anything else. So this new malware may be in part a reaction to this trend. And Google, at least in part, in a response to a recent settlement with the FTC over privacy issues, has now set up, or is in the process of setting up, a privacy red team. Now, red teams usually refer to penetration testing teams, an offensive team that tries to break into a company's infrastructure. In this case, the team is supposed to seek out privacy violations within Google and essentially fix them, or at least alert management about about them before they're causing any real issues. And Facebook paid out $5,000 to a researcher who found a new cross-site request forging vulnerability in the new Facebook App Center. Kind of an interesting flaw. Cross-site request forging, of course, is usually prevented with anti-cross-site request forging tokens. Facebook had the token in place, as it does for pretty much all of its features. However, it just failed to validate the token. So even though the token was there, even if you didn't submit a token or submitted a wrong token, the request was still accepted, and that could then be used by an attacker to essentially sign you up for applications without you actually agreeing to do so. Well, this is it for today. So thanks again for listening, and talk to you again tomorrow. Bye.